Lord, thank you so much that you love us for who we are, that you meet us right where we're at, and that you love us right exactly where we're at, how we are. Thank you, Lord, that you come into our lives, if only we ask. You come into our lives and you bring that light, that brightness, that love that this world can't give us, Lord. Only you can give us the love to fill that emptiness, to fill that hole. Only you can give love like that. And so I thank you, Lord. I thank you for the love that you have placed inside of me and so many others who are just like me, damaged by this world, hurt beyond what I thought was repair. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for coming in and repairing the damage that this world has done and for giving my life a purpose. Father God in heaven, I pray over the offerings that have been placed at your altar today. I pray for the givers, Lord, that you will fill them to the brim, overflowing. Give them the courage to spread your message, to give the hope to the hopeless, to answer the needs of the needy. Lord, I pray that that offering will come into your church and that it will be multiplied. It will be multiplied, Lord, that we will be a church that does your will, that does your work. And Father, I pray a special blessing over the service today. I pray for the hearts of all who are here, for all of those who will hear the message today. Lord, I pray that you will open the eyes in their hearts, that they will receive that message that you have prepared in your faithful servant, Pastor Max. May it be delivered to open ears and open eyes and open hearts. And may it glorify and honor you. I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Junior worship is now dismissed for those in kindergarten through sixth grade. We have a special ministry prepared especially for you. You can meet Joanna at the door and she will take you to your classroom. Before we turn to our text here this morning, I failed to mention one last announcement. Today is Western Avenue, and we will be going up to Western Avenue at 3:30 today, and we are still in need of a couple people to cook right after the church service, to cook the meal here at the church, and then also to go with Rich Witte and Ray Solo up to Western Avenue at 3:30 to go up and help serve the meal. So if anyone here feels led to go and be a part of that ministry, see Rich, he's back there, or you can see Ray, Ray's right back there as well, if you want to stick up your hand, Ray. But last week, as we continue here our series on true spirituality, we began to unpack the 12th chapter of the book of Romans to continue this series titled True Spirituality. We specifically began to look at verses 3 through 8 last week, and the challenge was this for all of us. It was a call to humility, and this call for all of us to be humble in our lives, it centers directly upon our view of how we view ourselves. The view we hold of ourselves, it must and it has to be accurate. It cannot be inaccurate. It has to be the way that God sees us. We found we can view ourselves in the negative, such as, I can't do anything, or I don't have the ability to do anything, or we can even become prideful and view ourselves too highly and feel that we can do more things than what God has really equipped us to. And this was, friends, this was the reason why the Apostle Paul admonished all of us to think soberly as God has dealt each of us a measure of faith. We also briefly touched on what humility was, and we saw four brief things about humility and different aspects of humility. And friends, I'm here to tell you that I believe that humility is the foundation of how we all are going to come to grips with ourselves. And what that really means is it's the foundation, it's the core, It's the central thing that we have to get settled before we will really understand how God wants us to see ourselves. It's the basis for finding our created purpose. And this morning, I want to just share with you a true story because I believe purpose is so foundational to every person's life that we all search for purpose, we all seek for purpose, we all look for purpose in all facets of areas of life. And so listen to the true story. Since World War II, an Austrian psychiatrist, Viktor Frankl, has written extensively on the relation of the meaning of life to the whole structure of personality. Frankl claims that the need to find meaning in life is more basic to a human being than pleasure or power or anything else. The thesis that Frankl repeats again and again is that if a person has a why to live, meaning why they are alive, then that same person can endure almost any how, meaning any circumstance that they are faced with. But it's that dimension of why is lacking, then the whole structure of one's life eventually collapses. This insight into the importance of meaning was developed by Frankl during the years he spent as a Jewish prisoner in a German concentration camp. Life there was unbelievably harsh and brutal, and the prisoners were forced to work long hours and were barely given enough food, they were barely given enough clothing and shelter to survive. As the months unfolded, Frankl began to note that some prisoners soon collapsed under the pressure and gave up and died, while others under the same conditions continued to hope and manage to stay alive. Using the tools of his psychiatric training, he would talk in the evening to scores of fellow inmates about this, and he found a pattern beginning to emerge. Those prisoners who had something to live for, an object that gave a sense of meaning to their lives, were the ones who tended to mobilize their strength and they survived. Their objectives varied widely, and one prisoner had a handicapped child back home, and he had a great desire to get back and take care of his child. Another had a girlfriend he expected to marry as soon as the war was over. Frankl himself had begun a book and had a fierce desire to survive and finish it and get it published. You see, friends, for you and me, it's not a question of whether or not we will be on a quest to find purpose in our lives. That's not the question. We are all going to be on a quest to find a purpose and a meaning in our lives each and every day. The question for all of us is whether or not we will allow the world to grip us away from the real purpose that God has created you and I for. Because in our text this morning, Romans chapter 12, verses 3 through 8, we're going to find that God has created all of us with a distinct purpose. Now, if we seek the world and we seek to find that purpose through the world, we are going to allow it to grip us away from the real purpose that you and I are here. Now, you are here for a different reason than I am here. I am here for different reasons than you are here. But nonetheless, we are all here for distinct, real, concrete purposes. And moreover, those purposes are only fulfilled and only able to be fulfilled by you. And we need to understand that. And so the question needs to be, is are we going to allow God to give us the purpose for our life, God's purpose, the eternal purpose? And so if you brought your Bibles, I certainly hope you have, turn to the book of Romans, chapter 12, verses 3 through 8. This morning, last week we looked at verse 3 in particular. This morning we're going to look at verses 4 through 8. And I want us to see a couple neat things from these passages, from these verses of Scripture. The Apostle Paul, he writes, "For I say through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith, or ministry, let us use it in our ministering, he or she who teaches in teaching. He or she who exhorts in exhortation, He who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, the one who shows mercy with cheerfulness. So friends, let's begin looking at verse 4. Once we have established the accurate assessment of ourselves in proper view of humility, and we view ourselves through the lens of faith as we looked at last week, we can then begin to take hold of God's purpose for our lives. The question is for all of us is, will we accept God's purpose for our lives? Listen to verse 4 and 5 again. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. I want us to notice two things. If you have your Bible, and I'm not opposed to this, I would underline the first phrase, all the members do not have the same function. I just want to digress a little bit here and really allow us to understand how a person becomes a member of the body of Christ. And we are all members of Christ when we receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And what this means to be having Jesus as our Lord and Savior is that we have recognized we have fallen short of the perfect standard of God. We have made mistakes. We have sinned. We realized this sin was highly offensive to God, and we were unable to do anything about our plight. We accept that God sent Jesus on our behalf to lay down his life as a ransom, a payment for the penalty of all of our miscues, all of our mistakes, all of our sins. And friends, then we ask for God's forgiveness through Christ. We receive that forgiveness of Jesus. And friends, when that happens, Jesus is our Savior. And immediately you and I are a member of the body of Christ. There is no way that you can become a member of the body of Christ outside of a relationship with Jesus Christ. Many times I think that people try to get in outside of Christ and become a member of the body of Christ without Jesus, or else they are a member of the body of Christ and they act like they don't want to be a member of the body of Christ, if that makes any sense. Because the phrase says, not all the members have been created or have the same purpose. And so friends, if you have received Jesus as your Savior, then you are the member, you are a member of Christ, of the body of Christ. Notice with me a couple things here, real quick. We all have a purpose, and I can't emphasize that enough. You have received Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You have become adopted into the family of God. You have become a child of God. You are Jesus' friend. And he has brought you into his family, God's family. He has given you his DNA, the spiritual DNA, through the advocate of the Holy Spirit, the paraclete, the counselor, the comforter. And he has done so to give you and me a purpose. It doesn't say, and some of the members were given a purpose. No, it says, and not all the members have the same purpose. Not all of them have the same function. And the understanding there is that every member of the body of Christ has a distinct purpose, a distinct function. If you think about your physical body and your human body, and you think about the function of the foot, it has to function correct to carry our bodies to where we need to go. The function of our hand, it needs to function properly to grab the food that we need to live and to survive. There's a lot of varying things. People want to usurp what God has blessed, and people in certain roles, they want to be in another role. And the body can't work that way. We have to accept God's purpose for our life. We all have a purpose. Not some of us, not part of us. We all have a role to fill. We all have a role to serve God. And then in a moment, we're going to see that we all have a role to serve one another. This isn't just serving God. It's serving our brothers and sisters in Christ. And I'll even take it one step further. It's serving those people who are out in the world who do not have a relationship with Christ yet. And we need to expand our horizons, and we'll get there in a couple moments here this morning. As I briefly touched on, we all have a unique role or a unique function. The different functions we all have, we are given these different functions. Notice, we are given them from God and not from other people. We are not given tasks or mandates from people. God gives us these roles. He gives us these functions that we are to live out, that we are to serve him with. But notice, and if you're underlining in your Bible, I would highly request that you underline individually members of one another. We are interconnected, friends. And many times we err on the side that we think that we're just serving God. In the scriptures here in verse 4 and 5, it says that we have been given a distinct purpose. We have been given a different function from another person, another believer in Christ. And we are individually members of one another. We all have a purpose for others. And friends, this purpose that God has given to you and to me, it's not for ourselves. It's not only for the Lord himself. It's for believers, brothers and sisters in Christ. And we need to understand that. We need to enlarge our perspective. The story is told of Michelangelo, who once entered the studio of a student, Raphael, and viewing one of his landscapes that he painted, Michelangelo took a piece of chalk and wrote across it, Amplius. And Amplius, friends, means larger. And Michelangelo was trying to convey to his student, Raphael, that his perspective was too small. And many times in Christendom, in our Christian journey with Jesus, our perspective is too small. We think that we serve God and only God. We think that these purposes are for us and for our fulfillment and for our lives. And friends, they are not. I could have you look to your left and to your right now, and I could tell you that the purpose that God has blessed you with, the function that he has created you to carry out, they are not for God alone. They are not for you alone. They are for your brothers and sisters in Christ. A friend of mine in Northeast Ohio, he's a pastor. His name's Randy Riley, and he made this statement to me some time ago. And the statement is as following. It says, I believe that when a Christian is called to do something, basically what he's saying, when a Christian has a purpose given to them by God, and they have been given a purpose from the Lord, and they fail to do this task, then it goes undone. The first time he shared this with me, it was striking. It was almost horrifying because I'm like, no. God will raise up somebody else. God will bring up somebody else to bring across somebody else's path to fulfill this specific task. But friends, if God has uniquely and fearfully and wonderfully made you and knit you together in your mother's womb, which he has, if he has intricately intertwined you with the characteristics, the talents, the abilities, the gifts, and all that you possess, if he has made you, he has done it for one reason, because he had a purpose that you could fulfill and you could serve out that purpose in your life. And when you don't fulfill that purpose, there is nobody on this whole planet that has the same unique set of gifts and abilities and talents and characteristics that you have here this morning. We need to understand that. We need to enlarge our perspective. Because many times we get so pigeonholed in our views and we think that we can't do anything, or else we get so haughty in our view and we think that we can do everything. And the fearful thing is that what if our purpose here in this world is to serve our brothers and sisters in Christ, to be a witness to the world? And friends, that is one of the purposes that it is. And when we fail to fulfill the purpose that we have as members of the body of Christ, then we are not sharing and being a good witness to the world. And friends, the world is watching. They are watching how we conduct our affairs. They are watching how we interact with one another. They are watching whether or not we truly act out and live out what we say that we believe. And this all speaks to purpose. Every aspect of it, it all speaks to purpose. And when we fail to live up to that purpose, something that God wants to have done goes undone. We have to expand our perspective. We have to have a larger view of how we all are interconnected, and we all need to get on board with what Jesus has given us in the manner of purpose for our life. This isn't an option, friends. We cannot choose the alternative, as the stakes are far too high. I'm horrified, and I often think, what happens if I don't do what God has asked me to do, and the salvation of somebody else needs them to have me do what I am called to do? That's a scary thought. That's a scary, scary thought. If God has called me to do something, to serve a function, a purpose in life, and I fail to do that, And that other individual who has yet to receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior, they need that one thing, to see the love of Christ, to see the glory of God, and I fail to do it, then what? Then I have just walked outside of the will of God. Just briefly touching on verses 6 through 8, once we accept God's purpose for our lives, we all have this choice, and this is where I'm going to leave us this morning, that we all have to be available. We don't have to be, but we are all called, and the challenge is clear for us, friends, that we all need to be available for use in God's ministry. Right at the beginning of verse 6, the Apostle Paul pens these words, and this list, this laundry list of specific gifts, they are not all-inclusive. This is not all of the gifts. He is merely just highlighting some of the gifts. And he begins and he says, having gifts. And then he moves on. He says, let us use them. And that's in a participial phrase. And what that means is an ongoing action. We are to never stop using the gifts. We are to never stop utilizing what God has blessed us with. We are never to stop serving and living the purpose that God has called us to. If you're wondering whether or not your mission on earth is finished, here's a test for you. If you're alive, it isn't. That's true. It's true. Because as long as the good Lord gives us breath, He has a purpose for us here. As long as He gives us breath, He has a function that He wants us to fulfill. He has a role that He wants us to live out. He has a purpose for us to serve Him, to serve others, and to ultimately gain the satisfaction and the meaning in life. Friends, the call is clear. We can look to the world and it will grip us away and take us away from the purpose that God has for us. But the world will tell us to find purpose through work, through accomplishments, through status, through attainments, through, you know, just absolutely recreation, anything. And it will always leave us wanting. It will always leave us lacking. It will always leave us yearning for something more. When you and I come to grips with the real you and the real me, and the real you and the real me is the reason why God has created you and I. And that, my friends, that's a neat, neat place where He's created you for a specific role that only you can fulfill, that only I can fulfill. And once we accept that, and we accept the gifts of God, and then we make ourselves available. And having those gifts, let us all use them. Friends, God has you in this body of believers, for a purpose. This isn't by accident. You could look around and you could see, this is not by accident why everybody is here this morning that they are. This is divine providence, God. I mean, this is God's moving. This isn't by just some happenstance and coincidence and something by chance. It doesn't work that way. It's by God's providence. Jesus has you here for His purposes, and this purpose He has given to you is unique and different, which is to benefit the body of Christ. It's to benefit those who are in desperate need of a relationship with Jesus. And friends, the challenge is clear. Let us use these gifts and these purposes for God, for fellow believers, and may they all work together in harmony to witness to those outside the faith. Just a real quick brief note, if you're wondering what your purpose is, I would love to speak with anyone. I would love to talk with anyone. If you're struggling with what your purpose is, why God has you here, I would love to talk with that individual. And so if you're struggling with that, come see me, talk with me. Because friends, God has a role. He has a distinct purpose for you and for me. And when we begin to walk in that journey, you will never find any more fulfilling and meaning in life. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You, Jesus, for this word. We thank You for the purpose that You bless us with. And Father, we thank You. And Lord, we understand that we're always going to strive and search for purpose in life and meaning. And Lord, You have wired us that way. You have wired us to yearn to be in fellowship with You and to work and walk with You, to have that meaning and that purpose, that sense of identity. And so, Lord, may You all just lead us, and may us all of us, just be ever present with you. May you guide us and bless us. May we serve you, serving others and witnessing to the world. We love you, and we pray this in the mighty name of Jesus our Savior, we pray. Amen.